This isn't just student cookbook. This is Food Fight, Desert Island Dishes, Christie's Countdown, the Ready Steady Cook Quiz, and Mood Review on this week's episode of the Student Cookbook.
Welcome back for another week here on the Student Cookbook. Unfortunately, our lead presenter, Lizzie, can't be here today. And so we have the lovely Christie here in the studio with us.
Yes, I am Lizzie for today. I am the lead presenter for today. Exciting.
And we also have with us Emily and Ali. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are we all doing this morning?
Yeah, okay. I've got to apologise for my horrible voice. I'm a bit
it's quite
ill.
Nice and husky. Aww. I'm quite enjoying it.
Oh, are you?
It's quite
no,
Ali.
Like someone's enjoying it.
Yes, I'm doing all right. I'm feeling a bit from yesterday, so I'm looking forward to Chrissy's countdown later. I'm
yes,
not going to lie.
We're all feeling a little bit rough, mainly from Fruity.
Yes,
That's why Vegeta. No, I was thinking, fantasizing about food always cures my hangover and eating food as well.
Definitely.
So this is a perfect show for hangover cure. Woof. Okay, yes, coming up today, we've got loads of really fun stuff. We've got the quiz, we've got the food fight. We've got Desert Island Dishes, an interview at Mood, and Christie's Countdown as well.
Right now, we've got a very special feature for you guys. And one of our team, Sam, has a Ready Steady Cook board game at home, which comes with its own set of quick-fire cooking quiz questions. So some of our team, who can't be here today, unfortunately, decided to try out this cooking quiz. And we decided we'd have a look at how much the Student Cookbook team actually do know about food. So here are the team having a go at their own little quiz show.
The Board Game, where Sam Cummings, our masterful quiz master, tests us on all food knowledge. This week's contestants are myself, Lissy Day, and the wonderful Emily Boo.
Hi everyone, I think I'm going to fail epically at this, but I'm very, very excited for it.
Emily, that wasn't fighting talk.
Yeah, come on, I want to see some
Okay,
some
right,
fight.
I'm going to be green peppers.
Decision's made.
Okay, does that make me red tomatoes?
That makes you red
tomatoes.
Okay, so when you know the answer, you say the name of your team, and then the first person to do that gets to answer. And then if you answer right, you get a point.
Gotcha.
First to 5 points.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Listeners at home, please feel free to join in.
Yeah. What food is also a beaten up old car and a firework?
Green peppers.
You have to remember your team name. But yes, green peppers.
A Roman candle.
No. That is not a food. It also has to be a food. Swing it over to red tomatoes.
Oh, what's that? It's a car and a firework.
Uh-huh, and a beaten up old car and a firework. Ah, it's too late now, green peppers. Don't look so excitable.
No! Oh my goodness. Okay, what are the words for a beaten up car? Oh my goodness.
I'm so annoyed.
I'm annoyed because I feel like it's dead obvious now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, no, that's it.
No,
What is the answer?
A banger.
It's a banger.
Oh.
A banger, firework.
Hang on. Awesome. Does a banger have to necessarily be a beaten up car?
Yeah.
Does
it's like an old knackered car.
Okay.
Sorry, okay, so no points in the first question.
But I got it
wrong. You're not having it at all. Name a spice beginning with V. I think there's only one.
Oh, gosh.
I'll give you a
there's
clue.
There's a million beginning with P.
It's not obviously a spice. It's a flavour...
Green pepper.
Uh-huh.
Oh, vanilla.
Correct.
Yes. Flip. I just thought of that. Oh, that's so annoying.
Okay, 1 point to green peppers. It's a good start.
Hang on, I'm red tomato, aren't I? Right, okay. I just had a blank.
What is the Welsh national vegetable?
Green pepper.
Uh-huh.
Leek.
That's correct. Oh,
yes.
Dear. I feel like you're a little
Goodness
bit too
me.
Scared to buzz in. You've got to
I just...
Like...
I've got really slow, like, brain reaction times.
What vegetable is also a decomposing vehicle?
What?
Now you might have to think about that one. And it's a vegetable.
I might just guess.
Recycling.
I might just guess a random
compost.
Vegetable.
The answer is compost. No, it's not compost.
Cauliflower.
No. But okay, so
broccoli.
Think of
carrot.
Green
onion.
Bean.
We have the correct answer.
What?
Carrot. It's carrot.
Oh.
Carrot.
That's disgusting.
Oh.
That is the level we're working at, people. Car rot, okay?
I feel like I've been enlightened.
No,
oh my goodness.
Yes, that is a legitimate point for red tomatoes there.
No, I shouldn't even say red tomatoes.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
Gosh, I'm so biased.
I know. Okay, this is a nice easy one. Okay, so get ready to put. What sauce is traditionally served with lamb?
Green pepper.
Red tomatoes.
Oh,
aww.
Sorry, that was...
Mint sauce.
Correct, yes.
Oh, my parents will be so disappointed in me. I'm sorry, Mum.
What?
It's like their favourite. Oh gosh. Oh.
What's the score so far, Sam?
The score so far is, I believe, 3-1 to Green Peppers.
Oh dear. Me.
Okay, all right. Okay, next question. They're going to get harder now. When making jam, what do you need to add to fruits which won't set of the
green pepper?
Oh,
sugar.
No, I'm not. Not accepting. Has
Hang
to be
on.
More specific.
What was the question again?
The question is, what do you need to add to fruits which won't set of their own accord?
Oh.
Now, it's not sugar. I'm afraid it's a specific kind of sugar.
Oh, you suck.
And jam sugar is not acceptable.
Hang on, let's go through the different types. So
no, that's literally how you want.
Let's go.
You get one type of sugar, yes. Okay, you don't get multiple sugar guesses.
That's why you won carrot.
Okay, let me.
I think there's some bitterness in this room.
Oh,
no,
dear.
Not
in the slightest.
Okay.
Oh, goodness me. I'm trying to think of the most. It's like fructose sugar? Is that a thing?
That is a thing, but I'm afraid it's not the correct answer. The correct answer is pectin sugar.
I've never even heard of that.
I did know that.
Yeah. Oh. No, it's a... There you go. Okay, all right. Let's have a slightly easier one.
Woo.
Which famous condiment is made in Dijon?
Green pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Mustard.
Correct.
Oh.
Oh, dear. Just the speed at which green peppers are coming in is just...
Oh.
It's too much.
Green pepper's too competitive.
Yeah, I think green pepper's a little too into it. Okay, let's see here. Which bells sing Oranges and Lemons?
Green pepper, St. Clements.
Correct, the bells of St. Clements. And I believe that is a win for
Green
Peppers.
Oh my goodness, I was absolutely trounced.
Green Peppers have completely dominated this game.
Victory done.
Lizzie's now flailing her arms around everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know what your prize is. Maybe I'll figure it out for...
Maybe a whole green pepper.
Yeah, you can have a green pepper. So
you're so kind.
I'm going to abandon one on your desk at some point this week.
just leave it there. Oh, that's so fast from Sam. I'm so happy.
Yeah. I'm so glad I won the quiz.
I love Stupid Cookbook.
Yeah. Okay.
That was your Ready, Steady, Cook board game quiz for this week.
Okay, so that sounded quite heated, Emily.
As you can tell, I lost epically. I cannot compete with the speed that is Lissy.
I know, she's just like so on the ball.
Like, she is. Like, she would have said it, and by the time she said it, I've only just realised what the answer is.
She must be one of those people who just like absorbs like facts just from life. Like, I'm one of those people, I just like don't really take anything in. Like,
it goes in one ear and out the other for me.
Yeah.
I actually think it's probably that she already knew this feature was happening and had a quick cheeky look.
Yes.
You know, wouldn't
it
surprise me if she'd ordered it on Amazon beforehand and read it.
We know what your game is.
Next time I think I'll just spring it on two people, be like, right, quiz now.
Right, you know.
Get the recording out.
That's a good idea actually.
Yeah.
Don't pick me though, because I'm just not. Just quizzes like general knowledge, stuff like that is
no.
So, bringing back Food Fight. So last week we had a great entertaining debate, and this week we've gone around and asked everyone in the union whether they think we should buy fair trade food or not. And I feel like Ali and Emily are looking at me right now like they're quite heated about this topic.
So I'm best.
Yeah, I'm ready for the claws to come out when we bring it back to the studio. But first of all, let's have a listen to what the union thought.
What does the idea of fair trade food mean to you? Is it something that's important to you?
I would say yes, but I'm one of those lazy people that doesn't pay enough attention to stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, in my head, I would say yes, definitely, but I don't follow through with that, and I know that's my own personal
view.
Also, would you be, if something was a bit more expensive but you knew it was fair trade for the logo, would you want to buy it over another product, or is that...
I would definitely be willing to, but obviously as a student at the moment I'm a bit limited in what I can do, but yeah, certainly when I'm older I do feel like I'm one of these people that will start buying more responsibly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Would you be more inclined to buy something if you saw the fair trade logo or
the actual product?
Yeah,
it's just a bit more.
Yeah.
Not very important to me. I don't really know. I normally just buy stuff that I
just It kind of depends on the price. Like, I obviously want to support fair trade, but as a student, I don't have a lot of money. And if it costs more, then I'm going to buy it.
So you'd be prepared to buy that over another product even if it was a bit more expensive?
So I always try and buy like fair trade coffee and things. I know I like to look out for like fair trade symbols.
Yeah,
people need to talk about it more though, because I think that people always be inclined to buy the cheapest thing. You've always got to be wary about that.
Okay, so we got a lot of opinions there. Generally positive towards the idea of fair trade, but what are we all thinking in the room?
Well, I was really surprised by the number of people who don't seem to actually know what fair trade is.
Like, really?
Yeah, one boy that we asked was like, oh yeah, that's organic, right? And we were like, no, that's...
oh dear.
That's not what fair trade means.
Oh wow.
Because I can kind of see where it's coming from, because it both ways comes in like really fancy packaging, like organic or fair trade. Mm. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's like an incentive to buy. But
they tend to like put like organic, fair trade into just this one category of like ethical food, and then that's it. Yeah.
So I guess people don't actually know like what it entails, but... What are you thinking, Clea?
Well, I did have a bit of a read up on this morning, because, and also recently in the week, and I've been asking one of my friends what they think about it, because everyone kind of says, you know, as they said in the union, like, we should buy fair trade, but what student is actually going to fork out that extra pound in some cases, you know, to buy fair trade food or items like coffee and chocolate? And it was quite interesting seeing some of the people saying that actually no one ever looks into fair trade, because it's kind of always perceived as this, why would you even look into fair trade? It's got such a good name about it and it's so amazing. But it looks like, and Lissy was telling me about this the other day, that because you have to sign up and you have to pay to sign up, some of the farmers can't actually afford to even get on the fair trade scheme.
Yeah.
And there's this argument that if we all suddenly went this surge towards fair trade, they couldn't actually sustain all the poorest farmers. So what would happen to the poor farmers who like were being non-fair trade?
Yeah, it's not very fair. It's quite selective. I don't know. I guess it's quite, because some of them, like, I don't know. It's like, because if you weren't picked to be fair trade, then obviously you'd probably lose business and you wouldn't be as well off. So
yeah, just reading about it now, it's not even just about how rich they are. They've got to have a political sort of standard, and they've got to be relatively skillful. So if education isn't very good in the country, then that just automatically knocks them off, and they're not going to receive fair trade.
Though saying that, fair trade, it does try and, you know, kind of help the like country in itself, and it does try and increase like healthcare access.
Beyond the minimum price that actually goes towards the farmers, there's then a premium on top of that that they have to invest into some sort of like some good development. So we're talking schools, healthcare, sanitation. Things that will better the environment, ecological.
I mean, going down a really controversial route for student cookbook. I mean, I may be about to go off topic for food for 2 seconds here. But for all you economic lovers out there, there is also the argument, why have we focused on agriculture when we could focus on the, you know, industry sector and go down that route?
Clothes and like stuff like that.
Yeah. No, like I'm not even doing it. Actually said, like, worse. Why don't you go down the industry route and go down there and kind of try and make that trade fair, and that probably benefit countries more than just trying to do the agriculture
in
the fair way.
Interesting one. But I suppose you could look to it in the way of, you know, something is better than nothing.
Yeah, this is a start. This is the primary sector. We'll then move into the secondary.
I mean, one of my friends, to be fair, he does live in London, so, you know, where all the prices are, about 20p extra. I mean, I remember going to London once and a Freddo's was 17p extra than it had been where I live at home. That was an emotional buy for me. But he did say, when I asked him this question, he said, why would I bother something? Like, why would people bother making other people happy if they don't feel satisfied in their own life? I was like, that's a bit bleak.
Wow, that's a very deep outlook on fair trade.
I was like, maybe fair trade need to make the English people and the American people happier first. But
different angle.
Yeah, I know. I was like, there we go, taking a different...
Well, everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah.
But personally, I would quite like to do something for the farmers, I feel.
Personally, I think fair trade is a good start.
But Ali, do you buy fair trade food?
I do. I always buy fair trade coffee. I never ever buy...
Okay, that's actually impressive.
Chocolate, on the other hand, I just like my crunchy bars. Okay, what can I say?
Can't beat dairy milk.
Emily?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm not a coffee drinker, so that rules that out. I don't like fair trade chocolate. There's something in it. I actually do not like it. But to be honest, I'm not sure whether I would or not. Like, I like to buy like fair trade, like other things.
Also bananas, sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
But every time bananas, I was really angry actually. Asda substituted my fair trade bananas for non-fair trade bananas, and I didn't notice. And now I have 12 non-fair trade bananas.
It's a lot to get through.
That is a lot, yeah. Especially when you're dedicated, you put that effort into, I'm going to have fair trade, and then,
Isn't it Sainsbury's that don't sell non-fair trade bananas?
Really?
I think some of the supermarkets have made a pledge not to...
That is really good.
Well, I know the last 2 weeks have actually been like Fair Trade Week and all this. Everyone's been trying to pledge. Apparently that's been going on for a few years now. It's like the end of February, beginning of March. They all try and pledge out the whole Fair Trade thing.
I remember at school, actually, we used to have a Fair Trade Assembly.
Yeah, we did as well. The nice PowerPoint presentation.
I feel like I'm just an awful person because I'm sat here and I know... I mean, yeah, just to say to all you listeners, I don't actually agree with most of the stuff against fair trade. We just thought we better kind of beef out the argument a tad. But I do like to think that I would want to help the farmers. And yeah, I do still not buy fair trade.
But it's hard in the student life. I feel like when we're older and you can actually sort of be more, I don't know, more selective and look at the like more premium products in the supermarket, it would like, then I would definitely choose to get the fair trade. But with the student budget, it's kind of something that's quite hard to incorporate. I don't know. When we have like a bit lot more, of people don't really think about it.
When we have a bit more money in life, then, you know, I can probably think about that. But right now, I'm looking at my overdraft thinking, fair trade, not fair trade. Ooh.
So it looks like we're trying to justify this, that we will be buying fair trade products in 20 years' time. But for now, we're onto Desert Island Dishes, which is our latest new feature, where we ask members of the team, members in the union, or just people in general, what 5 meals that they would take with them if they had to go and be stranded on a desert island. But today we're going to do a slight twist on this, and I'm going to ask my 3 beautiful team members in the studio with me today what 1 meal they could have if they were stranded on a desert island. So, Christy.
Okay, it would definitely
to
be...
Wait, I'm going to make this suspense. You're on a desert island. Sorry, Christy.
Waves crashing against the shore.
You are on a desert island. You are stranded.
Get into the mindset. Okay.
You are allowed 1 meal. Christy, what would your meal be?
100% salmon, baked salmon with sweet chilli sauce and sweet potato fries and loads of broccoli, like a whole floret of broccoli, because broccoli is just, it's just the best thing ever.
See, nothing I'm not broccoli. Sure if you've just chosen salmon because you like want to envisage yourself running down the beach with like a spear
getting salmon out. Get that salmon out and like twisting it round on the fire, like, spit roasting a salmon.
See, I secretly think that's what you wanted. You just kind of wanted to go down that, what's that book called, is it Lord of the Flies?
It's like a good warrior style. I feel, to be fair, but no, I just love the flakiness of it. It has to be cooked to perfection, to be fair. You don't want an overcooked salmon or an undercooked salmon, but if it was just like cooked for that 20 minutes, flaky, pink, great.
You've I got always to have find that actually in. If you wrap it in foil.
Yes,
in
wrap
oven,
it in foil. It just and that makes
all
the sauce.
Juices in. And then and then you keep the sauce and then you can pour it over, like if you have some kale or something. Oh, see, kale. I love salmon with kale and quinoa.
No, same.
Quinoa. I really hope you're not giving away your desert island.
No,
dish.
I'm not actually. I enjoy a lot of foods.
So there we go, tip of the week, guys. Make sure your salmon is wrapped in foil.
And baked for 20 minutes.
But why broccoli? I have to ask.
Huh?
Why broccoli?
Because you have to fry broccoli. I don't like steamed broccoli.
Fry
or boiled
broccoli?
Yeah.
So do you have to cut it quite thinly?
Yeah, ish. And you only have to cook it for like 5 minutes, but it's really like crunchy and then with a bit of like salt and pepper.
They always say, nice. Don't they, that if you have your vegetables and fruit and everything raw, it keeps more of the goodness in.
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah. I like raw broccoli anyway. Like I generally could eat, like, especially the stalk.
I actually really enjoy broccoli stalk, I was about to say.
It's really nice. People throw it away. Like, and my housemates actually leave the stalk for me. They're like, Christy, here's a bag of
meat. I know somebody who, you know when you have to weigh your vegetables in the supermarket. I know somebody who goes in with a knife and cuts off the stalk.
That's brilliant.
So they don't have to pay for the stalk.
That would be a sight to behold, wouldn't it?
I would just buy the stalk on its own.
Me and you too, I would, actually.
Actually, that could work quite well. We should go shopping
I feel like,
together.
No. Well, I was about to say, we could work out a little budgeting thing here. I'll buy the florets and you can buy the stalk and halve it.
Everybody
maybe I could
wins.
Spend that 50p on fair trade coffee or chocolate. There we go.
Imagine if you were that staff member that just got strolling down the vegetable aisle and is witness to that. Like, what do I do? How do I leave it? Do I not?
Like, is it illegal? Like, I don't know if you'd be able to stop it, like, really.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know, because they're paying for it. They can take whatever part of the broccoli they want.
Right, so Christy's on salmon. She's going around with her spear. She's going to roast it, but then she's going to get out her, you know, little bottle of sweet chilli sauce and her broccoli.
Which happens to have the desert.
Yeah, there we go. Let's come to the desert with you. Emily.
Okay.
Again, wait for Emily. You need to picture the waves crashing. Okay, I feel like if you have the suspense, you know, you're getting into it, then you're really going to choose the right meal.
Okay, right, I'm getting to the mindset. I can feel the sun burning my skin. I can feel the sand.
Emily is ginger. Can we just put this out there?
I am as pale as... as they come. And for my desert island dish, I'm not sure if I could do this because it would have to be a planned desert island trip, but I would go to Wagamama's pre-hand, order a chicken ramen, and that would be my desert island dish. I absolutely adore it.
I know some of
I find it quite salty.
Oh, I love it. I have made it at home before, but it's just not quite the same.
There's a Wagamama cookbook.
There are other restaurants available, just put it out there.
other Thai restaurants available. Yeah, no, I absolutely adore it. Just, oh, the
chicken. I feel like Wagamama's, it's one of those places where I just always go for like the classic yaki udon and like don't really
branch
beyond
that. You guys are making some fatal mistakes here. I feel like I'm not going to be the only person listening to this thinking, why have they not ordered the chicken katsu curry?
I've heard.
Yes. I mean, I think everyone's listening to you guys, like you are the two abnormal people that have ordered something else.
Wait, what about the chahan? The chahan.
Oh, God. Never even heard of
that. No, it's so good. I feel like... And you can get chicken and prawns, and then it comes with your miso soup and
like there are 98% pickles of our listeners listening to us out there. There may just be two of you. I'm sorry if there are. But you must be thinking chicken katsu curry
It's true. Chicken katsu curry is the traditional choice.
It is great. Although every single time I've been to Wagamama's, I have had a chicken ramen. Every single time.
I really think you should branch out.
I can't. I go in and it's what has to happen.
And Emily, I've got to say, you know how you've chosen a Wagamama's meal to take with you? Like, not saying that everyone has to go to Japan, but I have been to Japan, and I'm going to say the chicken ramen is probably better in Japan.
Yeah.
So I'm not commenting on your desert island dish. You're allowed to take whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I might have just gone with a chicken ramen and seen what you get, because, you know, Wagamama's is a little limiting your options.
Yeah, no, that is fair. I'm sure it is so much better in Japan, but however, I've never had it in Japan. So
for the minute, we're sticking with the chicken ramen
from
Wagamama's.
From Wagamama's.
Okay, Ali, you have now had about 4 minutes to imagine yourself on this desert island. Palm trees, coconuts.
Oh, sounds amazing. Take me there now. Right. Okay. I love my meat, okay? I live by red meat.
Oh, I can see what's coming.
And I'm just going to have a really rare, really good steak.
Oh,
and it's going to be 12 ounce. Yeah.
What sauce?
Peppercorn sauce with a huge dollop of horseradish.
Horseradish?
Horseradish,
horseradish, that's good.
And I want my big fat chunky chips with a little bit of mayo.
Yes, mayonnaise.
And I would like a salad actually, with a balsamic dressing.
Oh, lovely. That's I'm just envisioning that now.
So we've jumped from Wagamama's to potentially one of the most expensive meals on a restaurant.
Oh, and don't forget the mushroom on top.
Oh, God.
And the baked tomato.
That is literally... You should be a chef.
I should.
I should be that dish.
My mouth
no,
is
No, this is the thing.
Right
I'm not a good cook. I'm just a good eater.
No, I think out of the two, that's the one I probably prefer to be. Good eater. A good appreciator of food.
Yeah, I'm an appreciator of food. I'm not greedy. I just appreciate my food.
But that does sound delicious.
Well,
not gonna lie, I'm so hungry. Goodness me.
Yeah, I'm ready for lunch after this. I won't lie to you.
Well, with all those mouth-watering dishes to think about, we've got some exciting news in that we've had a new cereal cafe opened in Headingley, which has been very exciting, and lots of my friends have been very excited about that. And I went there the other day with a friend and went out and trialled Mood Cafe in Headingley. So now, just while you're all thinking about, you know, being on a nice island, please have a listen to our interview with the people who own it and where we tasted some of the new cereal that's on offer. So today me and Charlotte have come to Mood Cereal Cafe up in Headingley, which has just opened on the 19th of February. And I'm here today with Jen and Zoe to find out a bit more about the cafe in itself. So what gave you guys the idea to open a cereal cafe?
Basically, we came out of it when we were at university, like doing dissertations. We were always making cereal and taking it out with us, like snacking on it as crisps and things. We wanted somewhere to study rather than the library, like just stare at library walls. And we thought of a cereal cafe, just munch on cereal and do your work.
What exactly do you kind of serve at Mood?
We have your regular bowl, which is £2. You can pick from anyone, like from America or down to like ordinary brown flakes for £2 of normal milks. Then we've got cocktails from £3.50, which we've mixed ourselves, and with like one topping, two different cereals. Or you can go deluxe for £5, which is up to three different cereals, two toppings and flavoured milk.
have you found that people have really enjoyed the Serial Cafe?
We found that they love it. We get quite a good feedback from everyone. People tweet us, they Instagram us. They seem to, once they know we're here, they keep coming back because they find that they just want to try everything, because you come in and you see everything. Like, you see stuff that you've never seen before, so they either try and all have it in one bowl, or they just want to keep coming back and trying everything.
So you said you have cereal cocktails. What would you recommend as the best cereal cocktail?
Our best seller at the moment is May Contain Nuts, which is Captain Crunch Peanut Butter, Crunchy Nut, Almond Milk and Reese's Pieces Cups. We just upgraded it to the deluxe menu called the Nutty Professor, which has also got Weetos included and Reese's Pieces, so it's a little bit extra.
I'm just looking at your wall and you've got the most insane kind of different types of cereal going on here. So how did you kind of narrow down the load of cereals that you chose?
We chose, basically, we looked on wholesalers to see what you could easily get, and they're the ones we shipped over first. And then we went on Amazon to find rarer ones, which have not yet arrived. We've got a whole new shipping coming in, but they're like chocolate Lucky Charms. And then people come in regularly, they often give like recommendations. Like, a lot of people want the French Toast Crunch, which we're going to get in, and Count Chocolate, which is a big one in America, but you can only get on Halloween.
Can customers come in and kind of like make their own cocktail, I guess?
Yeah, customers can come in and make their own version. We have like customer mix of the day, which we put on Facebook and people can see and choose from that. And we're also making like a little post box that we're going to put over in the corner, and people can put their suggestions in, and we'll pick the best ones and put them on our menu.
What's your personal favourite?
My favourite's a Wild Thing, which is like a cocktail we made, which is Frosties, Cocoa Pops and Animal Biscuits with chocolate milk.
So for all of our radio listeners, if they want to come and try out your new Serial Cafe, when are you guys open?
We're open every day 9 till 5, and then on Wednesdays and Saturdays we're open till 8.
Okay.
But we're still sort of working on times at the moment, so look out on Facebook, we may change them about.
Okay, thank you very much for talking to us, guys.
Thank you.
Charlotte has gone for the
May Contain Nuts.
And I've gone for a Yogurt, which is a mixture of granola, yogurt, jam and fresh fruit. So we'll see how we get on. We have now finished our first cereal lunch at Mood Cafe, and Charlotte is here with her first review, having trialled the May Contain Nuts cocktail. So Charlotte, how was it?
It was amazing. I was a bit sceptical because I thought, just full of cereal, it's not going to fill me up, but the amount that I had in it, I'm feeling very full and satisfied.
And what did you think about all the different flavours?
It was so nice because it was so nutty at the end, the milk was like sweet and it was amazing.
On to the second review. I tried a Yogurt and it came in a very nice glass. It was all very, you know, aesthetically pleasing, but I must say it was absolutely divine. Maybe could have done with the bowl to mix it up a bit more, but it was still very, very enjoyable, and I very much thought my £3.50 was worth it.
The sound of students in Leeds. This is Leeds Student Radio.
Clear, that sounded absolutely lovely. Love experience. What did you think of it?
I did very much enjoy it. I had a very good lunchtime meal at Mood Cafe. They were really interesting, like, it was really cool. I sounded such a moron not saying aesthetically pleasing, but it is a really cool setup in there. Like, they have all these different cereal boxes. I'll post on our Instagram, please follow. Bit of promo there, of course. But no, it looked really cool because they had all these cereal boxes everywhere, and kind of like the milk cart, you kind of, your milk came in, like, you know, your traditional milk bottle.
Oh,
and
really?
Like,
that's,
yeah,
so
no,
cute.
Everything was like actually really cute and kind of dainty and nice. And like, I definitely needed some kind of cereal thesaurus to understand some of the menu. I was like, what are some of these kind of concoctions?
It's like going to a sweet shop, isn't it? And having all those jars up.
Yeah.
And then being like choosing everything to go in your pick a mix.
I mean, the only thing I think they are potentially missing out on is a porridge bar. I feel like...
I like my porridge.
Yeah, see, so do I. Like, I do enjoy my good cereal, but I feel like you can do everything with porridge.
That's would be easy like addition to the business as well. Just because porridge is so easy to make, and you could just like have your the like typical toppings. It's like
I'm really glad that they've come up with this idea, though. It's such a unique thing to do, isn't it?
And it's really cool. It's like, such a market. The different types of milk. Like the girl I went with, she is absolutely kind of on it with the kind of exciting new different kind of foods, and she was telling me all about these different types of almond milk before we went there, and then suddenly on the menu there's like this dark chocolate almond milk, which was like is apparently amazing. Yeah, like thank god she was kind of explained a lot of things to me. So,
and they had such a variety, because I went last week with one of my friends, and such a variety of cereals. Like they had the cereals that my parents eat, so Fairy Box, and they had stuff that I've never even heard of, like these really modern day like new innovative cereals, and like, just everything. They also had straws that you could like finish your milk with. I just thought that's such a good idea. Why isn't that a thing?
We're now here in the studio. We've been waiting for this moment. Christy's countdown is back.
I'm so ready.
Christy is here today with her chicken.
Yes.
Oh, actually, I'm not going to spoil chicken. It for you.
Okay, so this week the price was £3.50, and I have made chicken. So just baked chicken. I fried it, first of all, for about 3 minutes just to get it brown, and then whack it in a dish, put some, a few, I put, I'm quite generous with my pesto, so I literally just like half a jar of pesto went on this. And then I wrapped it in 2 slices of parma ham and just put it in the oven for like 15 minutes. And Ali pointed out earlier, I should have stuffed it with Philadelphia. That would have been a great idea for an addition.
That is one of my favourite.
Yeah,
it's so easy.
Yeah, true. Like, just such an easy little and cheese. Nothing beats cheese. And then, yes, and I made sweet potato mash as well, which is also, it's just a really nice, easy meal to make. It probably took me about 25 minutes to make, so it's kind of perfect for the student lifestyle as well. And we sort of discussed, it's hard to work out the price, because obviously the ham, I bought a whole pack of ham, which was £2, but I probably used about half a pack, so that would have been £1. And I'd say the chicken was about £1. £1 for the pesto, and then 50p for the sweet potato.
So Christy, does that mean we've stayed under our £3.50 limit for this week?
It does. Which is, yeah.
I hope you're getting excited about the next week's £3.
I'm really scared for when it gets like 50p, and I'll be like, I'm sure there's something.
Lentils.
Yeah, literally just a
bowl. Chickpeas.
So, yes, I have the meal in the studio. Who wants to go first?
Me.
Yeah. Yep. Over here. Over it. I'm starving.
Oh. I mean, and I think sweet potato is one of those things that I've got to eat and suddenly decided is the best thing in the world.
Yeah, my whole house. It's a refined carb, so it's, like, better for you, like, because, like, it's better for your digestion. I think it's just generally, it's more healthy than normal potato.
I feel like that's the first moment that the student cookbook has actually managed to succeed in its aim to help students with their cooking and
a healthy lifestyle.
You know, happy lifestyle, everyone. Well done.
That is a very healthy meal. Good.
That is so good.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I am so jealous that over on this side.
But even if you didn't like it, you can be like,
it's not dry at all, honestly. That's perfect.
Oh, try it now.
What is your secret?
I don't know. I think it's just the timings.
Because I always find pesto is always a good shout as well together.
Yeah, it's so easy to dry out your chicken. Maybe it was the frying at first that keeps all the moisture
in. Yeah, I think so. And it means you don't have to bake it for as long. So it probably. But like,
I always worry about not cooking my chicken enough as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like it being pink in the middle.
Mm. Yeah, with other meat, you don't have to worry as much. With chicken, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, you do, really.
That was really good, Chrissy. I've never thought to do the, because obviously, like, parma ham and chicken is quite a standard, but with pesto as well, that really,
I've got some pesto in my fridge. I might do this tonight.
Oh, my God, this is amazing.
Pesto is just a good addition to everything, I feel.
Yeah.
And it lasts for ages. Like, I do use quite a lot, but you can make it last, because a spoonful goes, especially with pasta, a spoonful goes like a really long way.
And
it
really does.
That was absolutely insane. If you have any other ideas of what you would like Christy to make, then please tweet us in. This is LSR. We'd love to know. Well, I'm sure Christy would love to
know. Yeah, I'd love to know, actually, if you have like something really, really cheap that that you make. That's, I don't know, like, give me ideas for, I'm looking to the future for the 50p, and I'm like, what? It's literally just going to be porridge. Or like, I don't know, broccoli. Like broccoli and spinach.
More broccoli.
Broccoli stalk.
You know you love your broccoli.
So it's coming to the end of our student cookbook show today. I hope you guys have all enjoyed it, and please get in touch with us with any ideas for Christy's countdown, the food fight, which will all be back next week. And we've also got a very exciting feature next week, so we're going to Pizza Lux in the Trinity Kitchen, and we're going to be going to bake some pizzas, so I have an exciting feature about that.
for you guys all next week. But I think that's it from us, and have a really good week, guys, and we'll see you back next week for more food craziness.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.